or you may not see him alive." I was horrified, for I had heard nothing of his illness. I need not say that I rushed for my coat and my hat. As we drove back, I asked for the details. "There is little I can tell you, sir. He has been working at a case down at Rotherhithe in an alley near the river, and he has brought this illness back with him. He took to his bed on Wednesday afternoon and has never moved since. For these 3 days, neither food nor drink has passed his lips."
"Good God, why did you not call in a doctor?"
"He wouldn't have it, sir. You know how masterful he is. I didn't dare disobey him, but he's not long for this world, as you'll see for yourself the moment that you set eyes on him."
He was indeed a deplorable spectacle. In the dim light of a foggy November day, the sick room was a gloomy spot, but it was that gaunt, wasted face staring at me from the bed which sent a chill to my heart. His eyes had the brightness of fever, there was a hectic flush upon either cheek, and dark crusts clung to his lips. The thin hands upon the coverlet twitched incessantly, his voice was croaking and spasmodic. He lay listlessly as I entered the room, but the sight of me brought a gleam of recognition to his eyes.
"Well, Watson, we seem to have fallen upon evil days," said he in a feeble voice, but with something of his old carelessness.